Amen. All right, we're in Jeremiah chapter number 10, verse number 1, where the Bible reads here, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe." And the title of my sermon this morning is Bible College, The Way of the Heathen. Bible College, The Way of the Heathen. Now, throughout the Bible and throughout history, we see God's people on a continual basis have a pattern of rejecting God's way of doing something and trying to do it their own way. We often see God's people looking at God's commandments and wanting to fulfill them in their own way. Now, this doesn't just apply to Bible College, obviously. We see this just in many aspects of our obedience unto the Lord. We want to sacrifice unto the Lord the way we do it, not the way He's called us to do it. We want to do soul winning the way we want to do it, not the way He's called us to do it. For example, track drops, right? Door hangers, evangelistic services. See, the ends to those things is that people get saved, but that's not the way God wants you to do it. You know, God never ordained an evangelistic service to be the means of how you get people saved. God never determined for a door hanger, right, to be placed on a door to do a track drop to see people saved. What is the way you do it? By opening your mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. That's God's way. But what has man done? Man has basically made his own method, his own way of doing things, and really has copied the heathen, okay? Now, you don't have to turn there, but Psalms 81 verse 12 says this, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." You see, we need to go God's ways. And if it's not God's ways, then it's the highway. We shouldn't adhere to those things. And God's people have always thought, well, there's a better way of doing it, though. You know, I know the Bible says that we ought to go door to door and preach the gospel and so on and so forth, but I think there's a better way of doing it. I know that the church is supposed to be teaching doctrine and teaching the Bible and training its own people, but there's a better way of doing it. It's called Bible College. No, Bible College is not even in the Bible, okay? Right. Now, it's basically God's people trying to improve upon God's ways, and they have failed miserably. Look down at your Bibles. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." Verse 3, "For the customs of the people are vain." So what is the way of the heathen? It's a custom. It's the manner in which someone does something. And look, let me say this. Is just because you have the name Christian, but you put contemporary in the front and then music in the back, doesn't make it right. Yeah. Well, it says Christian, but it's contemporary Christian music. Doesn't make it right. Just because you put Bible at the end and you put New International in the beginning doesn't make it a literal Bible. It's wrong. And the same goes, just because you put Baptist in Bible doesn't mean the college is correct. Okay? Doesn't matter what the motive is behind that institution. Now, what is Bible College? Okay, because we've heard a lot about Bible College. We've heard a lot of what it's supposed to mean and what it's supposed to do, and you know the motives behind what Bible College is. Bible College, in the realm of Independent Fundamental Baptist, is simply an institution established by a New Testament church to teach the Bible and train its people, its members, for the work of the ministry. Okay, that's what they'll tell you is what it is. Now, at face value, that seems noble. That's like, well, you know, what's wrong with that? Well, here's the thing that's wrong with that is God never instituted the church to institute an establishment to do those things. Right. You say, well, then what are they supposed to do? The church is supposed to teach the Bible. Amen. The church is supposed to train its own members to go out and preach the gospel and do great things for God, not a Bible college. Right. You know, and this isn't a part of the notes, but one of the most unbiblical things about Bible College is the fact that they charge money to learn deep doctrine. I'll give you a person, let me just say this, is you say, well, you know, you're just preaching this because you're part of the New IFB. Yeah, I am. Amen. Amen. You got that right. But secondly, I speak out of experience, okay? Don't throw your tomatoes at me, but I was a Bible College student who graduated, okay? I was a Bible College teacher as well. So I was on the other side of the fence defending that institution at one point. So I know what I'm talking about because I've seen the fruit of Bible College, all right? And I remember one time I was told to teach through the book of Hebrews. We were going to do a class intensive on the book of Hebrews. Now, a college intensive is basically a week-long class where they would teach for 4 hours a day just cramming the Bible to these students. And, you know, it was like a big thing. And they say, you know, if you're interested in learning this, you know, you got to be a part of this intensive. And it costs like hundreds of dollars if you want credits for it or whatnot. And I remember Brother David. Brother David was there. And he specifically told me afterwards, he said, man, I remember when they announced that class, I was like, wait, I want to learn the book of Hebrews. So I have to like pay, get time off of work, and then to go pay top dollar to go learn deep doctrine from the book of Hebrews. Why can't we just learn it in church? You see, here it's free. And the word of God being taught should always be free. Okay? We should never put a price on teaching the word of God. So look at 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So just keep that in mind, as the local church is the institution whereby we teach the Bible and train our members, all right? Amen. That is the institution whereby we do these things. Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with Jeremiah chapter 10? Well, a Bible college is simply that. It's the way of the heathen. Yeah. Yeah. They got their teachings. We're running out of space here. Guys, if you can help get some chairs and find some chairs there. Hey, this is a good problem to have, amen? Bible college is simply the way of the heathen. You won't find Bible college first and foremost in the Bible, but you look throughout history, any university or college that was instituted was a secular institution. And people will say, well, you know, you look at Harvard, liberal school, right? Harvard started out as a Christian college to train preachers and etc. But here's the thing, they were established by who? By Congregationalists. They were established by Puritans, by Presbyterians. We're Baptists. Congregationalists do not believe, they baptize babies. So why would we pattern our institutions off of the Presbyterians? Why would we pattern our institutions off of the Congregationalists or anybody else other than Baptists, other than the Bible? It's foolishness and folly. It's learning the way of the heathen. The customs of the people are vain, the Bible says. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, these things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. That doesn't say Bible college. Right. Yeah. It says the church is the pillar and ground of truth. Amen. And, you know, you talk to people who, you know, support Bible college, they'll tell you these phrases, okay? They'll say this. Well, Bible college is an extension of the church. You know, it's a ministry of the church. That's what they'll say. But the extension of the church is right here. Yeah. It's the members within the church, okay? It's not this cream of the crop students who are willing to pay thousands of dollars, go into debt thousands of dollars to learn, to sit there for 4 hours a day listening to some teacher parroting some unsaved guy. They're paying people who are simply parroting David Cloud. Who wants to learn from David Cloud? He's unsaved. Now, they'll say this, well, it's a place to deepen your understanding of the Word of God. If you really want to learn the Bible, you know, you got to go to Bible college. Well, what are they learning in church? What is the pastor pray? Oh, that's right. It's only grace, 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 and more grace. Right? And then the deep doctrine is often taught in these Bible colleges, so-called. Now, what's the problem with teaching it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night? Okay? The Bible says in Psalms 119:99, you don't have to turn to, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Amen. You see, God is not a respecter of people. He doesn't respect just the students who are in Bible college to teach them deep doctrine. And in fact, most of these students who go to these Bible colleges don't know any doctrine. They don't know nothing. In fact, the teachers who teach in these institutions don't know anything. I remember being a student in the Bible college, and there's a teacher who got up and he said this, someone tell me the difference between Romans chapter 4 and James chapter 2. One of them says that God, that Abraham believed God and was accounted unto him for righteousness. The other one says that, you know, he was justified by works. Is it a contradiction? Who knows the answer? I raised my hand. I gave him the answer. It says one of them is justified before God. The other one is justified before man. Right? And the Bible college teacher literally did this. He looked at me and he went, yeah, you're right. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm paying for this. Wow. To tell this guy, I'm teaching him. You know? And so you say, so why do people go there? Well, it's the matrix is what it is. Right? It's churches that have created this institution and have conditioned the minds of the people within the church to say, you can't be involved in ministry unless you go to Bible college.
Right.
Okay? And really what it is, it's independent fundamental Baptist becoming denominational.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you can't be sent out, you can't be a part of the team, you can't be a part of the group, you can't be a part of the buddies if you don't go to Bible college. Now, what's another thing that they say? Well, it's a place to train for the work of the ministry. And what they mean by that is, you know, you got to sit in a class for 4 hours a day, listen to some teacher who doesn't know what they're talking about, reading from a book that's not the Bible.
Right.
A commentary. Okay? And they consider that training for the work of the ministry. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. But is that really how you train for the work of the ministry? Sitting in class for 5 days, 4 hours a day in a classroom setting to learn how to do ministry? I mean, is that really what the Bible says you ought to do? No, that's the way of the heathen.
Amen.
You go to the universities and the public schools. That's why Christian school and Bible college, they pattern all their ways and methodologies according to the world.
Yeah.
You know, Christian school is simply a secular school with a Christian name on it. At times, and let me say this, the people within the Christian schools are often worse. They're often the worst type of people within Christian schools. I've known kids in Christian school who turn out to be reprobates. You know why? It's because they don't want to be there. Their parents make them go there. And they learn the Bible so much that, they learn the Word of God that they don't want to learn. And then their heart becomes hardened. And what happens, they actually become a reprobate, because that is how you become a reprobate. They become hardened to the things of God because of these things. They don't go out of their own volition. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also 4 days, you know, 5 days out of the week for 4 hours a day. Does it say that? No. You know, you say, well, how is this fleshed out? Well, after church, you're going to see how it's fleshed out. You go soul winning, you have your soul winning partner, and someone who doesn't know how to soul win goes with someone who does, and guess what? They learn. This person commits into this person the things that he has heard among many witnesses. Okay? Look what it goes on to say, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. So what words do we see there? Teach, endure, war, strive, labor. Everything that you don't do in Bible college. You see, the way you prepare for ministry is you go to war. You stand up for truth. You're out there soul winning. You learn how to be a husband. You learn how to be a father. You learn how to be a wife. And this is not in my notes, but this is another reason why Bible college is unbiblical. Because they promote and encourage girls to go to Bible college. You know, they tell their girls from their churches to move across state to go to a Bible college when that's not biblical. And often they'll say this, yeah, well, she's here under the authority of her father. Well, here's the problem with that. The father is basically given over the authority to another man. She's not under the protective umbrella of her father or her household when she's, you know, hundreds of miles away. That's unbiblical. So you're basically violating God's authority in order to adhere to your authority, your wisdom or lack thereof, to send your daughters to a Bible college. It's not biblical. You say, well, where are they supposed to learn the Bible? At home? In church? Where are they supposed to learn how to be a wife? From their mom? No, they need 4 hours of you know, credits and to learn how to be a mommy. No, they don't. Learn how to cook at home. You know? No, but they're not going to learn secretarial work. Yeah, good, it's okay. I don't want my daughters to be secretaries. You know, they could be my secretaries. But I don't need to send them away to some institution to go learn that. It's unbiblical. Okay? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Where are you? You're in chapter 2. Go to chapter 3. And they'll say this, well, it's a place to train future pastors, Brother Bruce. You know, why are you bashing on Bible college? This is the next generation. It's going to do something great for God. This is the hope of America. I hope not. I hope not. But they'll say that. It's like, this is if you want to be a pastor, this is what I was told. Okay? I wanted to be a pastor. Once I got saved, I was like, man, I want to be a pastor. I want to preach the word of God. And they say, you need to go to Bible college. And I went. You know, I went and you say, well, you know, what did you learn in Bible college? And look, let me just say this, is that I learned some good things in Bible college. It wasn't the Bible that I learned in Bible college. Okay, I'm not being facetious here. I'm just being honest. I learned some good things in Bible college, but here's the thing. Nothing that I learned in Bible college that was good could not have been learned somewhere else. Or in church. You know, character, discipline, all these things that are important, I learned in Bible college, but you know what? I could have learned them somewhere else. But students are conditioned to think, well, you can't get those things if you don't go to Bible college. Okay? Now, they'll say, well, it's a place to train future pastors. You know, and what they mean by that, again, is sitting four hours a day, 5 days a week in a class, learning, you know, taking Bible doctrines 1, 2, 3, 4, learning how to run a bus ministry. We don't have bus ministry here. We don't even have a place to park a bus. We barely have places to park our church members' cars. But here's the thing. This is the reason why bus ministry exists. Because the pastors of these churches are too stinking lazy to go do real soul winning. So they need to have this superficial attendance by bringing in a bunch of unsaved kids week in, week out. You look at churches that have bus ministry, the majority of their attendance comes from the bus ministry. It doesn't come from the actual members, the drive-ins. Okay? That's what it is. And so they're too lazy to go out there and preach the gospel, so they want a superficial attendance by having bus ministry. And look, you say, well, the bus ministry, that's visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. We do that when you do soul winning. You know, and if that were true, I ran into bus kids who've been to church for years and they never got saved. You know, I just led a bus kid to the Lord a couple months ago here, who's been attending Montecito Baptist Church for years. Didn't get saved. They don't care about that. You know what they care about? They care about the attendance is what they care about. Okay, it's sad. But they'll say, you know, it's a place to train future pastors. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's see if that's biblical. Okay, look at verse number 1. It says, this is a true saying. Excuse me. Let me see. Let me turn to myself, actually. First Timothy chapter 3, it says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man graduate not from Bible college, how shall he take care of the church of God? Is that what it says? No. But you know that's what they say. You can't be a pastor unless you go to Bible college. If you don't graduate from Bible college, how are you going to take care of the church of God? That's what they'll tell you. You know? And in fact, they even discourage married men from going to Bible college when they're the most qualified. Someone who's married and has children is more qualified than the single guy who's in Bible college to be a pastor. You say, why is that? Because it says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You see, what qualifies a man to pastor a church is the ability to rule a family. That's God's way. But they'll say, no, you need a certain amount of credits. You need a certain amount of years in Bible college. You need Bible doctrines 1, 2, and 3, where you're learning a smorgasbord of false doctrine. You need all these things. No, you don't. You need to be able to rule your own house well. That's what God says. But you know what? What does man say? Well, let's improve upon that. Okay? Let's learn the way of the heathen. They need to go through 4 years of Bible college, 5 years, 6 years, or whatever, to actually be qualified to be a pastor. That's wrong. You see, you say, well, why does it say you have to rule your own house well? Because a man is supposed to be able to lead his wife. A man is supposed to be able to lead children. And that is his resume, okay, for the church. How is he going to help couples in the church? How is he going to help marriages and teach about church discipline and disciplining your children if he himself has not done that in his personal life? Right. The training grounds for a pastor isn't a classroom. It's within the church, and it's at home as well. And they'll say this, well, how are we supposed to know that they're ready? You know, how are we supposed to know if they're ready? How are we supposed to send them out if they don't go to 4 years of Bible college? Well, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So in their mind, they're like, well, in order for us to know that they're ready, we got to observe them for like 4 years, make sure they get A's on their quizzes. You know, they got to have a good grade point average, pay their bills on time, because that's how they're going to pastor a church. Look at 2 Timothy 2:5. It says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Timothy was a far more qualified student of Paul than most Bible college students are in college. Because they're going to class, but you know what Paul's telling him? You need to endure afflictions. You need to get some thick skin. Amen. And you know what I've noticed about Bible college students is they're weaklings. Yeah. A bunch of sissified weaklings who don't know how to endure anything. Yeah. Right. They get offended at the drop of a hat. They don't know how to endure afflictions. They can fill up a bus. That's about it. They don't do the work of an evangelist. What's the work of an evangelist? Soul winning. Amen. Most Bible college students don't even know how to preach the gospel. That's fact. You know, it says make full proof of that ministry. So for the Compton Soul Winning Marathon, we saw like 142 people saved. Man. It was an awesome day. And I remember Brother Segura, he was telling me, he goes, "Hey, for dinner, let's just take everyone out. Where's the closest mall?" I said, "The Lakewood Mall is the closest mall." And he's like, "All right, we'll go there. You have a card, I got a card. We'll just pay for everyone and, you know, just fellowship, have a good time." I'm like, "Hey, man, let's do it." So we just finished the day. We saw 142 people saved. I mean, you know, muzzle not the ox that treadeth out the corn, right? We're about to eat and just have a good time fellowshipping. So we're sitting there, and Marcos looks at me, and he goes, "There's a Bible college student here." Was he evangelizing? No. What was he doing? Nothing. Just wandering around the mall on a Saturday, you know? And Marcos just kind of went up there. He's like, "Hey, what's going on, man?" And he was just like, "Oh, hey," you know? Caught. You know why? Because all he did was do his little 2 hours of visitation.
Right.
You know? And after his 2 hours of visitation, just sneaks away to go to the mall, maybe to go talk to girls or whatever, and just go shoot the breeze and do nothing. Is that making full proof of thy ministry? No. You know, making full proof of thy ministry is the ability to endure afflictions. That's why I'm thankful for a church like this, because we got a lot of enemies that try to afflict us, and guess what? It's good for our church.
Amen.
Go to Philippians chapter 2. So Timothy, you know, he took that to heart. He endured afflictions. He did the work of an evangelist. He made full proof of the ministry. That was a way to observe if he was ready to be sent out. But not only that, he was observed by the Apostle Paul. But look what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." So he says, I know the proof of him, but you know the proof of him as well. You see, the way a man is approved to go be sent out or to do the work of the ministry is the church has to approve him. They have to watch him do the work of an evangelist, do the work of the ministry. But you can't do that when you're in Bible college. They look at the grade. Your grade point average, you know. I know people who got great grades in Bible college, and they're false prophets and teachers. That doesn't mean anything. It's the way of the heathen determining if these men are ready or not, okay? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. They said, well, they need Bible college in order to get grounded in the faith. So they won't learn false doctrine and get into heresy. They won't learn the post-trib pre-wrath rapture. They won't learn about replacement theology in Bible college. Yeah, you won't learn those things. You won't learn the Bible in Bible college, okay? But they'll say they need classes. They need, you know. And I remember being in Bible college hearing all kinds of false doctrine. I remember being in Bible college, people questioning the King James Bible. And these are things that I would constantly bring up to the leaders, and they would do nothing about it. And I couldn't understand why. I'm like, why will you not do something about this? Now, I will say this. The Bible college I went to was established by my father-in-law, Pastor Joe Esposito. And I remember one time there's a guy who came in. He was teaching. And, you know, most of the students in Bible college, they didn't even want to be there. Okay? Their mama sent, papa called, or whatever you call that. You know, they're just there because their mom and dad sent them to go to Bible college. Okay? And they don't even care what's being taught. That's why if you look at the most popular Bible colleges, they don't tell you come here to learn the Bible, to learn doctrine. They'll say come here to do the activities. You know, we'll go to the beach, we'll go do X, Y, and Z, you'll have a great time and all these things. They promote activities and fun rather than actual learning the Bible. So that's why they don't even care what's being taught. Oh, I care. And I remember this guy, he got up and he was teaching And he said something, and I raised my hand and I said, are you saying that there's different gospels in the Bible? And he looked at me and says, I'm just saying what the Bible says. And I said, are you saying that there's different gospels? He goes, I'm just saying I believe the Bible. So he didn't want to answer. And I said, this guy's a dispensationalist. I learned very early on in my Christian life to reject the dipsticks.
Amen.
Okay? And I went to my father and I said, this guy's a dispensationalist. He said X, Y, and Z. And he said, he said that? I said, yeah. He goes, he's never coming back. And I respected that decision. But you know what? As the years went by and different teachers came in, they were teaching all kinds of false doctrine. You know, the people could get saved by looking at the stars. Kinds of stupidity. And I would bring it to the attention of the administrators and they would do nothing about it. Look, you tell me someone's teaching repent of your sins in this church, we'll do something about it.
Amen.
Today. It'll get done. Okay? But they'll say, no, this is where they learn deep doctrine, so they won't go into heresy. Well, is that what the Bible tells us to do? Look what 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So Paul's warning Timothy. He's saying, hey, look, this is happening. This is going to happen. You know, people are going to depart from the faith. They're adhering to heresies, and they're going to depart from the ways of the Lord. Skip down to verse 13. Till I come, what is the remedy to that? Give attendance to reading. Not, you know, give attendance to a classroom. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not that a gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear. It doesn't say take heed to the Bible college you go to. You know, hey, make sure you go to either Golden State, West Coast Baptist College, you know, Howes Anderson College. Give me another one. What's Sexton's College called? Pacific Baptist Bible College. What's Sexton's College called? Crown College. Take heed. No, it says take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It doesn't say go to college. It says you need to read the Bible. It doesn't say get a 4-year bachelor's degree. It says read the Bible. That's how you can avoid false doctrine. And in fact, that's how you can learn the right doctrine. That's one of the reasons I became post-trib. Why? Because I read the Bible. Most people who are pre-trib don't read the Bible. They read commentaries. They'll give you a fat book like this, you know, that says what things may come by Dwight Pentecost. And say, yeah, just read this, you know. And she's like, I'm not going to read this. This guy's not even saved. This guy's a Calvinist. I hate Calvinists.
Amen. Amen.
And I'll say, well, I still think Bible college is a good concept. You know, our country started off with great universities that had the motive of training these students or whatever. Yale University and Harvard and all these things. But they were made by Congregationalists. And if that's the temple you want to go by, okay, go to Yale today. Go to Harvard today. Go to Princeton today. See how that worked out for them. Bunch of God rejectors there. Heathen, atheists who hate God and hate the Bible. Oh, but not us. No, if that's the template you're following, that's going to be you guys within the next couple of years. Okay? In fact, there's a guy who talk about Yale University. He's a congregational minister who said a congregational minister founded Yale College in 1701 to train men to serve church and state. And many of its early presidents also led chapel services. In 1757, Yale formed the current congregation known as the Church of Christ in Yale. We call it the Church of Christ Rejectors. Amen. An elaborate Victorian Gothic confection at Elm and College Street has been its home since 1876. He said, I'm very upset that the university in its arrogance seeks to dissolve this affiliation when it was the church that founded this university. Well, yeah, it's because you're learning the way of the heathen. That's what happens when you use heathenistic methods and try to blend them into Christianity. It's going to go into heresy. Amen. Harvard University was founded in 1636, claims itself to be the oldest institution of higher education in the United States. The claim of being the first university has been made on its behalf by others. But you go to Harvard today, bunch of faggots.
Yeah.
Bunch of heathens and faggots there. You know what? Bible college is the same thing. You go to West Coast Baptist College and they have a bunch of fruitcakes there.
Right.
I remember I went there for a, what is that called?
Fine arts.
Thank you. Former Bible college student. Well, there's Bible college students in this church, right? They're not infiltrators, okay? But, you know, I went to fine arts, and I remember I was in the bookstore listening to a conversation, and I thought it was a conversation between two ladies. Until one lady sounded like he was hitting on one of the other ladies. And I was like, what the heck is this? And I walk, and it's some queer sissy with his eyebrows done. Hitting on this girl. And I'm thinking to myself, they let this sodomite in this institution? And I remember going back to my church thinking, there's homos over there. There's faggots, there's flamers over there. Why are we sending our kids to the fine arts competition over there? There's flamers over there. You know? But you know what? When you adapt to the way of the heathen, you're going to produce what the heathen produces. A bunch of reprobates. Okay? And by the way, the leaders of these institutions are reprobates as well. Okay, Golden State Baptist College, with their song leaders or their piano players and their college administrators, a bunch of pedophiles,
right,
in these institutions. Okay, now go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. So for centuries, God's people have made the decision to reject God's method and embrace the way of the heathen as a means to an end. Now, I was wrong about this. Okay, I used to promote Bible college. In fact, the two guys sitting in the back were recruited by me. Raise your hand, guys. All ashamed. You know? I recruited them to Bible college. I was one of the Bible college recruiters. I was a part of the recruitment team. Okay? But then I recruited them to the new IFB, amen. But I was for Bible college at one time. But as I saw the fruit of Bible college, I realized this is wrong. This is not right. It's not producing what they claim to produce. Okay, the college I went to produced one pastor, and that guy's a heretic.
Amen.
A heretic. Teaching works-based salvation over here in Monterey Park. You know, every other sermon he talks about, you know, there's churches out there that rather focus on dispensationalism than soul winning. He's talking about me, of course. You know, because we're coming out with the documentary on dispensation of heresy.
Amen.
He rather focus on dispensationalism rather than... And the way they have to protect their members from listening to us is by creating a bunch of lies about me and about our church.
Right.
Talking about how I split the church and all these things. You know, I just heard on Friday that they're saying that the church I came from, he's like, yeah, Bruce Mejia, he split that church. You know, he just left all of a sudden and took a bunch of people with him. And and one of the guys here, he's like, yeah, that's what I thought. I said, they threw a going away party for me. He's like, what? That's not what I heard. I was like, they had a cake. Gift card. They had a whole entire service honoring me as I was leaving. You're there, Chris, right? Chris is there. They're honoring me, preaching the sermon. They gave my wife flowers. They had a cake. There's tears because we were there for so long. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, yeah, he split the church. He just left without even telling anybody. Bunch of liars.
Amen. Right?
Bunch of perverse liars. You know, why don't you tell the truth? Why don't, you know, if you tell the truth, maybe you'll keep your congregants. But what happens is you tell a bunch of lies and people aren't stupid.
Yeah.
And they start realizing, hey, you're lying to us. And guess what? They ended up leaving that church.
Yeah.
Good. Amen.
Amen.
But that's the only thing that college has produced. This guy who tells you, by the way, his name is Kyle Beck. Just to let you know that, all right? He tells, my wife told me that he even said this. He told his congregation, you don't need to study the Bible. Just know Jesus. What? You don't need to study the Bible, just know Jesus? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me.
Amen.
The way you know Jesus is by studying the Bible.
Right.
But you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to keep his congregants stupid so they don't come across these truths. Okay, oh, you shouldn't call out the names. I just did. So,
amen.
You know, you're going to have to deal with that. Look at Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, O, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts be faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So he's saying, look, when you go out to fight, You're not like the nations around you that they need to, you know, accumulate horses and chariots. I'm fighting for you. Amen. That's God's way. Skip down to verse 15. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And look what he says in verse 18, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. He says, look, destroy it, because I don't want you to learn from them.
Right.
But you know what we have today? Baptist churches who are not destroying the faggots out of their church.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
They're learning from them. Wow. They're not teaching their congregation, hey, universities are wicked. Public schools and Christian schools are wicked.
Right. Yeah.
So, but you know what they're doing instead? They're learning from them. Okay. Now go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. God wants us to destroy these things, not learn from them. Now, when I mean destroy, I don't mean like, you know, you're like a physical battle. Okay, don't like physically harm these people. But we destroy them from the pulpit, amen?
Amen.
We destroy them from the pulpit. We make sure we're open about what we believe in regards to these things. And we're not going to learn from them. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 1. So remember this, is that in the Old Testament, primarily in the first five books of the Bible, Israel was run as a theocracy. What is that? In other words, they did not have an earthly king. God was their king. That was the best way. Because all the nations round about them had kings who would go forth to battle with their kingdom, right? So who was that for Israel? It was God. And anytime you have God on your side, you would always win. And then after that, they had the system of the judges where it was like an administrator, someone who would deliver the children of Israel when they were behaving badly, etc. But they never had a king. And look at verse number 1 in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the names of his firstborn were Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old. Thanks. And thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. See, we want to be just like them. Can't you just make us a king like all the nations? Verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You know what churches are doing all over? They're rejecting God. When they choose to have a Bible college or choose to send their people to a Bible college, they're rejecting God's ways. They're not necessarily rejecting the pastor. They're rejecting God. Because God says, hey, I know what's best. This is the way you should do it if you want to send out pastors, if you want to train these people. But what are they doing? They're like, well, no, we'll just send them off to a Bible college where there's five pastors. You know, they get a degree so they can get the acclamations and all these things. They're rejecting God by doing that. Okay. Verse 8, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and serve other gods, so do they also unto thee. Skip down to verse number 19. So he gives them all the things that they're going to have to adhere to. Like, man, well, they're going to take your daughters. That's exactly what's happening to Bible college, right? They're going to take your sons. That's exactly what's happening in Bible college. They're going to be working for the king. That's exactly what's happening in Bible college. Because they take the cream of the crop of these churches, put them in these institutions, and they never go home after that. They end up staying at the Bible college because they offer them a staff position. You know, they stay there, and then these local churches are anemic, have no one working there because they sent all their kids off to Bible college. Well, that's exactly what we see here. Verse 20, that we also may be like unto all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. You say, I don't care what happens. Just give us a king because we want to be just like the nations. I want my son to have a master's degree. I want him to have a doctorate. You know, I want him to be respected. I want, you know, he's not going to be going to a secular university, so the next best thing is Bible college. It's foolishness and folly. It's the way of the heathen, okay? Now, Let me skip some things here. Go to Exodus chapter 32. But you know what the Bible tells us? We ought not to be envious of the wicked. You know, we ought not to desire their prosperity, so-called. We ought not to desire their riches or their positions. We ought to esteem the things of God and the positions of God more than anything else. Okay? Look at Exodus chapter 32, verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with the graving tool. By the way, verse number 4 is the verse that Golden State used to establish their Bible college. Just kidding. Golden Calf Baptist College. After he had made it a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. So remember, when there is a feast, they would get an actual calf. Right. An actual bullock. An actual lamb. And they would slay it. Well, they had a better way of doing it. Let's just make it out of gold. It looks prettier. You know? But you know, that's the way of the heathen. And they ended up suffering the consequences because of it. Moses came down, melted the gold, turned it into powder, and made him drink it.
Amen.
Verse 7 says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee down, for thy people, these students, these Bible college students, which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Yep. Why? Because they learned the way of the heathen. Okay. Now go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. So why does Bible college really exist? So I gave you the reasons that they say why it exists. And we debunked every single one of those, showing that it's not biblical. But why does it really exist? Well, number one, it exists to earn the respect because of titles, due to titles. Because they'll say this, after you finish your four-year, you get a what? A bachelor's degree. Then if you spend a little more time in Bible college and you spend a lot more money, you can get yourself a master's degree. Then a little more time, then you can get a doctor's degree. Now, I know someone who's getting their doctorates right now, they have to write a book in order to get their doctorates, okay? But this is why it exists now, because they'll say, well, how are people going to respect me in my church? How am I going to be an example unto the people in my church if I don't have a title in front of my name, okay? Now, titles are okay, because the Bible has titles. But these are biblical titles. Bishop, pastor, deacon, evangelist. These are biblical. These are the ones that God chose to use. Not doctor, I don't want to be a bachelor. Amen. Brother Nick just got married, came back from his honeymoon.
Amen.
No longer a bachelor. You know? I don't want to be a doctor of theology. By the way, we have a real doctor in our church, Dr. Rita Ellithorpe, right there.
Amen. Okay?
That's a legitimate doctor. If you get your legs blown off, don't worry. She knows how to. I'm serious. I'm not joking. If you literally get your legs blown off, she knows what to do. Amen. Believe it or not. Now, don't try it. I'm just telling you, it works. She knows what she's doing. That's a real doctor right there, okay? But they want to earn the respect due to titles. Look at Matthew 28, verse 8. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. So they want to earn these titles when God specifically said, don't call yourself a master. You say, well, you know, what about father? You know, you call your dad? Yeah, but that's a legitimate title for my dad, his father. Okay? Now, here's the funny thing about this. Go to John chapter 3. Because this is what I've noticed since I've been saved, is even those who have a master's degree often don't know a squat about the Bible.
Yeah. Right.
They know how to regurgitate whatever they memorized to pass the exam in order to be called a master, okay? But they don't know anything about the Bible. So just remember this. If anybody ever calls themselves a master of theology, just mark it down. They don't know anything about the Bible. It's true, okay? The average church member here probably knows far more than any master of theology, so-called. And let me give you an example, because it's biblical. It's in the Bible, too. Look at John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. Skip down to verse number 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? So he just clearly explained it, gave an illustration of how it works, and this guy still doesn't understand what he's talking about. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of theology? A master of Israel? And knowest not these things? So this master of Israel, this master of divinity, of theology, he has this title, he's a ruler, he didn't even know how to get saved. He doesn't even know simple teachings of salvation. But you know what I see today? I see the same exact thing. Where these people have these titles of master of theology, master of divinity, but they don't even know the basics of salvation. Believe only. Oh no, you see in the Greek, in the Hebrew. You don't know either. So what are you talking about? You know, these people who claim to know these deep doctrines, but they don't even know how to get saved. But they're masters of theology, masters of Israel. Well, no, it's not these things. You know, I don't need to spend tens of thousands of dollars to learn all kinds of deep doctrine. I can just learn it here. I can learn it. I have the author living within me.
Amen.
Who can teach me all things. Go to Revelation chapter 3. But they want these titles, you know, to be respected of men. They want the praise of men more than the praise of God. And in order for them to get that, they need to have these titles, the doctorates or whatever, you know. And they give honorary doctor's degree and all these things. These things aren't biblical, okay? And look, we ought not to get our value from titles.
Amen.
You know where we get it from? From the work we put in.
Amen.
From the souls that we see saved. You know, Paul said, my rejoicing is you. You know, the epistles of commendation are the people that we win to the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, we're not, call me Dr. Bruce, Dr. Mejia. Call me Master Mejia, you know. No, it's stupid. But people want to do that because they want to basically cut corners, not do it the way God told them to do it, and do it the way of the heathen. That's what the heathen does, right? They give themselves titles. They make themselves look all important. You know, it's foolish. Now, what's a second reason why Bible colleges exist? Well, to create a superficial spirituality. Okay, I remember I went to Bible college, and Brother Perry can attest to this because he went to Howells Anderson College. He went to Howells Anderson College with my father-in-law, I believe, or one of my wife's family members. And, you know, I went to Bible college, and I was thinking, man, this is going to be the most spiritual atmosphere ever.
Yeah.
I met some of the worst people in Bible college. Some of the most wicked, lukewarm people you will ever meet are in Bible college. It's like, what in the world? These people don't care about the things of God. I've known atheists in Bible college. So why do they let them there? That's why. Because money talks. That's why. But they create this superficial spirituality because they say, you know, if someone's in Bible college, oh, this guy's like, he's the real deal. This guy's preparing for the work of the ministry. He's going to be a pastor one day. And they walk around with their chest out, puffed up. Not even knowing anything about the Bible. There's this guy who went to our Bible college. His name is Chip Chanty. Okay? And this guy is a false teacher reprobate.
Amen.
Why you just call everyone a reprobate? I call the people who are reprobates reprobates.
Amen.
That's a good title for them. That's a biblical title. I don't call them gay. I call them reprobates.
Right.
That's what they are. And this guy is a works-based salvation. He teaches a false doctrine. He's a major hyper-dispensationalist within the college. He's on multiple occasions admitted knowing and believing false doctrine. And I remember one time, where's David? David's around here somewhere. David's right there in the back. I remember David and I, we both went to that church, and he didn't know me. I didn't really know him. Well, he didn't know that I listened to Pastor Anderson. And I remember one time Chip and him were talking about the post-trip pre-wrath rapture. And Chip is as pre-trip as the day is long. I mean, he's pre-pre-trip. Like, he's really pre-trip. Okay? And they're arguing about, you know, pre-tribulation rapture. And David's just sharing. He's like, hey, it says after the tribulation. And, you know. And so I listened to that conversation. I was like, I'm going to jump in this. Just for kicks, you know. And then I hop in there. And Chip looks at me and he goes, Bruce, tell this guy that the rapture is before the tribulation. And then Matthew 24 is talking to the Jews. He was like mad, right? And he, you know, he stands next to me and he looks at David like, I'm just about to plow David, you know. And I go, the Bible says in Mark 13, what I say unto you, I say unto all.
Amen.
And he goes like this. He's like, what? He's like, are you post-trib? I said, yeah, I'm post-trib pre-wrath. It's in the Bible. And he was just shocked. He couldn't believe it. And then David's like, thank you. He just like walks away. So then, and I'm trying to, this is before I knew that he was a reprobate, okay? I'm trying to reason with this guy. I'm like, look, you got to read Matthew 24 in context. I said, Chip, do you know what context is? And he said this. He says, how are you going to ask me that? I'm a Bible college student. Well, shut my stinking mouth. I'm sorry. He's a Bible college student. You know what that is? That's a superficial spirituality. Yeah. Don't ask me stupid questions like that. Don't you know how much I pay for these classes? I'm a Bible college. I got the tattoo. I'm a Bible college student. I'm the cream of the crop. You know? It creates a superficial spirituality when they require soul winning, they require visitation, they require bus ministry, and they're working their tails off. How many hours did you work on Sunday, Brother Perry?
Probably
20 hours. 20 hours on Sunday. Okay? 20 hours on Sunday. When you're done with 20 hours, you feel like you've done like a lot. You know? But you know, you can do a lot and not really do anything at all. So it creates this superficial spirituality. Look at Revelation 3, verse 1. It says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, right? These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. You see, just because they're working, just because they have a name that they live, doesn't mean they're alive.
Amen.
Go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. It's the way of the heathen, okay? And people are going to listen to this sermon online and, you know, criticize. Go ahead. I don't care.
Amen.
You know? Hit the thumbs down button if you want. Throw a comment on there. But I'm using the Bible, and it's true. Okay? Look at Matthew 23, verse 25. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, Bible college students, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which are JCPenney suits, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Bible college students are the most guilty of not even reading their Bibles. Because they get so much Bible teaching, you know, and chapel services, and they're just being just taught all these things. They're like, well, I don't need to read my Bible. Okay? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. So it creates a superficial atmosphere where it's just like, well, I'm right with God because I go to Bible college. And then what happens? The young people who are in church who don't go to Bible college are looked down upon. They're seen as second-class citizens. When really the ones in the church who are young people often end up being more godlier than they.
Amen.
You know, because they're not being spoon-fed all this garbage. You know? And they're treated, and if you don't go to Bible college, they'll say, well, just try Bible college for 1 year. Let me just get your money for 1 year. Let me just get that tuition for just 1 year. That's what it is. They'll say, they go to Bible college for one, just try 1 year. You know, and if you don't go, it's just like, oh, you're not a Bible college student? why don't you go to Bible college? He's like, well, I'm going to trade school to get a job. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's like, take your own advice, buddy. And they look down upon those. I've had people call me and they're like, my son doesn't want to go to Bible college. I'm like, good. What's the problem with that? Have him go to trade school. Have him do something else. Have him be a faithful member of the church. There's nothing wrong with being in a church and going soul winning, reading your Bible, standing up for rights. You know, that's the way God ordained it. Not sending him off to some institution, you know, to learn false doctrine. God ordained the pastor to teach the congregation. God ordained the mom and the dad to teach their children. God ordained these things to be done within the local New Testament church, not a Bible college, okay? But they're taught that these people are second-class citizens if they don't. And I know that to be a fact. I mean, if you don't go to Bible, that's why most Bible college students who only go for a year, they go for a year to appease their parents, you know, to appease their pastor, because they don't want to be there. They hate it, but they're going just to go. My wife tried to convince her dad. She says, just let me stay home. I'd rather just stay home and learn at home. And he said, all right, fine. So he let her stay home for a year, but then he had to go to Bible college, you know. And she was in and out of Bible college. Like, she finished fast because she didn't want to be there, you know. And the majority of things that I learned that were good in Bible college, I learned from my own pastor because he was my teacher, you know. But a lot of students, they don't get that privilege. Okay. But what else is Bible college there for? To centralize power and a standard of doctrine. Okay. Because they'll say, well, you can't go start a church if you're not a Bible college student because you need to learn our doctrine. That's what it is. Okay. In fact, I was even told a little bit before I was kicked out, they're like, yeah, we're not sure if we would be wanting to send you out if you're going to be preaching like against the reprobates and stuff like that and sodomites. It's just like, you know, if you send me out, I'd be the greatest thing to happen to this Bible college. Probably more people will come to your school because of it. But they don't want to be associated with that. Okay? They want their doctrine to be propagated. Their pre-trib and Zionist agenda that they have. Okay? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse number 4. It says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman, seek me a teacher, a Bible college teacher, that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. So we see Saul going about listening, hearing from God in an unbiblical manner. We understand that Saul was already away from God. But you know what these students are doing? They're doing just that. They're going to teachers with familiar spirits, you know, Sam Gibb, the witches of Endor, to learn these doctrines. You can learn it by yourself. You can learn it in church. You don't need some heretic teacher to teach you the Bible. Amen. That's the last thing you want to do, okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I remember one time I was going to take a class, and it was called, not hermeneutics, it was called one of those Greek, what? No, not homiletics. It probably was hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the study of the Bible. Yeah, it's hermeneutics. And they're like, you want to take hermeneutics? I'm like, yeah. It's how to study the Bible. I want to learn how to study the Bible. And I had this preconceived idea that hermeneutics meant studying the Bible using the Bible. So I was like, yeah, teach me some methods how I can study the Bible using the Bible. I went to that class and spent over like $100 having to buy this commentary, David's Treasury Scripture of Knowledge, and all these tools. The class was on how to use the tools to study the Bible. They use everything but the Bible. And I was thinking to myself, I thought we were going to like learn how to study the Bible using the Bible. And she's like, oh, no, this is how you study the Bible. You got to use David's Treasury Scripture of Knowledge, which is like this big. It's like, and it was written by Charles Spurgeon, by the way. I was like, I don't want to learn from that guy. I don't want to learn from this. I want to know the Bible. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of Bible college students, heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. There's a guy in college that, you know, when Marcos, before he was kicked out, Marcos came to visit our church, and he got kicked out because he came to visit our church. And, I mean, they gave him the boot, you know. And there was a guy who was at that college, and he was just a worshiper of the Jews. He loves the Jews. It's the apple of his eye. And, you know, he kind of approached Marcos about, like, about regarding the Jews, and Marcos was trying to be careful because he didn't want to get kicked out. And he was just like, well, you know, this is what the Bible says. And he showed him some verses. And then the guy looked at him and said, I don't know. All I know is that I'm going to heaven. That was his answer. That's all you know? You've been in Bible college for how many years and all you know is that you're going to heaven? And I don't even know if he knows that. But that's all you know. You see, the deep things of God are searched out by the Spirit that lives within us. That's why the Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But pastors are too lazy to teach our congregation now. You know, there's not enough deep doctrine in Lancaster's Sunday school books that he's selling online for teachers to get and teach. It's all this shallow doctrine, and they're not willing to put in the work to actually teach deep doctrine within the church. So they administer that to the teachers in the Bible college to learn those things. Okay? Now, go to Ephesians 4. We're pretty much done. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So what does Bible college produce? Well, you don't have to turn there. Number one, it produces a false sense of accomplishment. 4 years, I'm like, I made it. You know, I got my degree. You know, I got a bachelor's degree, but I don't know where it is. If you want a certificate, I'll just make you one. I know Photoshop. I'll just go buy you the paper at Staples, make it look nice and pretty and everything. I'll have a cool little signature on there. That's what you're paying for. They have a false sense of accomplishment, whereas the Bible says in Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You see, the way you prove yourself is by doing work, by soul winning, by preaching the word of God, by doing those things that God instituted. But what else does it produce? It produces a false sense of accomplishment through their bus ministry, through their 4 years and all this other garbage. But it also teaches this, which is the one, this is my pet peeve. It teaches a tolerance for false doctrine. A tolerance for false doctrine and no tolerance for the right doctrine. Psalms 119, 128 says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning the things to be right, and I hate every false way.
Amen.
You see, we as God's people, we're supposed to hate every false way. Not just not like it, hate it.
Right.
Hate it. Hate repent of your sins.
Amen.
I hate the pre-tribulation rapture.
Amen.
I hate Zionism.
Yeah.
I hate dispensationalism.
Yeah.
I don't just not like it, I hate it.
Because
I esteem God's precepts more than those things. Yeah. But you know what Bible college does? When you find out that there's a false doctrine in the Bible college, oh, he's just a little off. How's the school book? Oh, he paid. And Bible college often becomes more strict than the actual church itself.
Yeah.
You get a fornicator in Bible college, they'll boot him out.
Yeah.
You get a fornicator in church, they let him stay. Why is the Bible college more strict? Why is the Bible college willing to adhere to discipline more than the church? You have a drunkard in Bible college, you know, that's fine. You have a drunkard in Bible college, they kick him out. You have a drunkard in church, they're allowed to stay. It's foolish. It's the way of the heathen. But they tolerate false doctrine. You know, I remember one time there's a guy who came from a different church. And look, this is the problem is you have a multitude of churches come into this one institution, they all believe differently. This guy came with the New King James Bible. And I showed him, I said, hey, we don't use that Bible here. And he kept using it. And I had to go to the administrators over and over and say, hey, have you talked to this person? He's using a New King James Bible. He's reading it out loud. It took like over a month for them to do anything about it. Why? Because they had to get the payment first. That's why. There's people who are atheists living in the dorms who publicly said, I don't believe that the Bible is the word of God. I went to the administrator and said, hey, this guy is a heathen. He doesn't believe in God. He rejects the Bible. Kick him out. And he's like, well, we're trying to help him out. What is this? Salvation Army? What is this, like a halfway house or something? But it teaches a tolerance for false doctrine. And worst of all, it teaches a tolerance for stinking pedophiles and faggots.
Right.
You know, we're not tolerating that garbage here.
Amen.
If you're fagging in here, go ahead and let me know. Raise your hand right now so we can take care of it.
Right.
We can boot you out of here right now.
Good,
we won't wait another month until you put your tithe in. And lastly, it produces a bunch of effeminate men. If they're not faggots, they produce effeminate men. Bunch of weakling sissies with their tight suits, their penguin ties, you know, with their hair up to here kind of thing. Bunch of weaklings who know nothing about the Bible. They're more concerned about singing the right tone and being able to sing beautifully than to know the Bible. Okay, that's not what God wants to produce. I'd rather have a guy who knows doctrine and sings like a crow.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Who knows how to preach the gospel, who knows the Bible, who stands for right, who hates false ways, and can't sing for nothing. But they prefer the one who can sing really well so they can put him on tour group. Even if he doesn't believe in the Bible, even if he acts like a little faggot, you know, I'm sick of it. You say, what is it? It's the way of the heathen. Okay? And you say, well, you know, Brother Bruce, I'm not going to send my kids to Bible college. How am I supposed to apply this sermon? I'm not going to ever go to Bible college myself. How am I supposed to apply this? Well, this is how you apply it. Don't learn the way of the heathen. And don't try to improve upon God's ways.
Amen.
You know, stick with God's ways. Stick with God's ways in regards to order in your family, in regards to you being a husband, and in regards to you being a wife, in regards to your children. Don't put your kids in Christian school.
Amen.
It's the way of the heathen. Oh, I just don't think I'm adequate enough to teach. You look, you're much older. All you have to do is learn a little bit more than your students. You're good to go.
Amen.
You can do it. If God commanded it, you can do it.
Right. Yeah.
God will not command us to do something that we cannot do. It's just like, well, sorry, you know, you can figure it out, man. I don't know, you know. No, he will provide a way to do it. These institutions are godless. They will destroy your children. They destroy young people. And look, this, you know what we want for our church? We want the young people to stay here.
Amen.
Amen? Is that cultish? No. I want the young people to stay here because this is the way God ordained it.
Yeah.
For young people to grow up here, get married here, you know, establish their family here. This is a safe haven for your children to be in under your authority and the authority of the church. Not some place where there's a bunch of reprobates and pedophiles.
Right.
It's the way of the heathen. So that's, just want to get that off my chest, right? I'm just kidding. You know, and if you want to know, you know, how to like get out of Bible college, just see me after the church. I'll teach you. Amen. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing it. You're leading people astray. No, I'm trying to lead people in the right way so they don't destroy their lives. You talk to any student, former student of a Bible college or Christian college, whatever, they'll tell you exactly what I just said. They agree with me.
Right.
It's the way of the heathen. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you that all things work together for good to those who love you. And Lord, we know that all of us at one point, I know myself included, I made a lot of mistakes. I wasted a lot of time. But I know you could use it for the good. And Lord, I'm thankful for the people who even influenced me in Bible college, the good teachers. Obviously, there's a lot of bad ones, but at the end of the day, I need to go with what you say and not learn the way of the heathen, not teach my children the way of the heathen. No, we need to learn the ways of the Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd help us all to adhere to these principles. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.